Well, as you can see from the readings tonight, we've just moved on to the next little portion of scripture in the story of Hezekiah. And we've come to the end of his life story. We've studied the life of Hezekiah and we've noted his godliness, his relationship that he maintained with God through prayer and faithful obedience. The victory that was realized over Sennacherib witnessed to Hezekiah's devotion to God and wisdom that he gave to his own people to trust God despite the seemingly impossible circumstances they faced. That story, I remember Kerry and I reflected on a lot at a time when we were feeling assailed, and it really strengthened us enormously that doesn't matter how things look, God remains the same. And if we trust him as Hezekiah did, even a mighty army like Sennacherib's, God will take care of that. And God did. Well, last Sunday we read about Hezekiah's illness. He became sick, was given a prophetic word that he was going to die. And yet Hezekiah again shows a complete dependence on God. And he cries out for God to remember his faithfulness. Oh, I wonder, what about our lives? Can we appeal to God? Look at my faithfulness to you, Lord. I think we can, many of us here. And then the events that transpired after that, God gave him another 15 years to live. And these events in Hezekiah's life show a man of godly character who remains faithful through incredible adversity, and yet, tonight's story, oh dear, his final days remind us of the vital aspect of life in this world that so easily becomes a snare. The son of the Babylonian king Baladan, Merodach-Baladan, sends a present to Hezekiah, having heard that he had been ill. With the gift, he sends envoys or messengers to convey the greetings of this foreign nation. Why does a foreign king send a present to Hezekiah? What is the motive for doing something like this? You know, people give you gifts, and behind that gift is a motive. Sometimes it's a good motive. I give gifts to my wife because I love her. But we have to be very careful about gifts. I recall one day standing at the door of the church here when we were in the old church, and a young man walked out the door and gave me a check for a very large sum of money. And God said, "Don't you touch this. Give it back to him." Motives are so important when gifts are given. Motives. Well, Hezekiah was not cautious in receiving the gift, and we are told he showed no caution in responding to this visitation from Babylon. Now, Solomon, who came before Hezekiah, wrote this down. Like the glaze covering an earthen vessel are fervent lips with an evil heart. Whoever hates disguises himself with his lips and harbors deceit in his heart. When he speaks graciously, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Well, that was a word of God. Hezekiah paid no attention to anything like this. Why was Hezekiah unable to act with caution when this seemingly generous group of visitors arrived in his nation bearing gifts? There was something that had begun to corrupt Hezekiah's heart, and he was not fully conscious of its subtle impact upon his life. In fact, at the end of this account, he says to Isaiah, "Oh, that sounds great, good." Why? Because he says this. He thought, why not? If there will be peace and security in my days, dear friends, the Bible makes it so clear, your life will impact those who follow you. Your life will impact those who follow you. Well, such a godly man, it's such a sad end to his life, and the heritage that he leaves his descendants is captivity and the removal of all their resources. Hezekiah welcomed these visitors. He showed them all his treasures, the silver, the gold, the spices, the precious oil, his armory, and all that was found in his storehouses. There was nothing in his house or all his realm that Hezekiah did not show them. Why do you think that is? What happens when God blesses us because of our faithfulness? So easily we can think that these resources that we have are a sign of how good we are. And a very subtle thing comes in, doesn't it? Pride. Pride is so subtle and crafty to blind our eyes from seeing the truth. You know, Isaiah comes to Hezekiah and says, "Hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and that which your fathers have stored up till this day," so not only he, but those who went before him, "shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord, and some of your own sons who will come from you, whom you will father, shall be taken away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." Want to care about that? Do you want your sons to be eunuchs? You know? Do you want them unable to bear children? Alistair, you've borne a child. The rich treasure that is. And there is Hezekiah saying to Isaiah, "Oh, the word of the Lord that you've spoken is good." What? What has happened? He has been blinded by pride. Well, why did Hezekiah show these foreigners everything he had, particularly his riches? What is it about earthly possessions that makes us want to display them to others? Come on. You know, what is it about earthly possessions that wants us to display them to others? You know, our lovely car that we've just bought, or our, you know, fine clothing that we're wearing, and all these things, we want others to see them. We want to make something of them. What is it about earthly possessions? When we are without riches and beautiful things, we find ourselves at times embarrassed to display our poverty to others. You know, what happens when your house is in a mess and it's all, you know, I don't want anyone to come in my house. We're reluctant to show hospitality to people. Why? Well, they will think something less of me. What is it about earthly possessions? Yet, when we get the latest iPhone, can you see what I'm using? What is it about these things? Cars, homes, they elevate our status in the eyes of other people, don't they? What are we looking for? Whose approval are we seeking? And of course, behind all of this is the thing that God hates and wars against: pride. Jesus was so clear, and the Bible is so clear about the deceitfulness of riches. The deceitfulness of riches. Jesus says that the seed of God, the word of God, can be received into the heart of a person. In Matthew 13:22, he says, "As for the seed sown among thorns, this is the one who bears, hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful." This is exactly what happened to Hezekiah. He has eunuchs as sons, unfruitful. In his story of the rich man and Lazarus, Jesus is very clear about the deceitfulness of riches, isn't he? There was a rich man who was clothed in purple. This is in Luke chapter 16. Fine linen, feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried, and in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm in anguish in this flame." What was it about the riches he had that deceived him? He thought he was okay. He had the approval of the world. He had the endorsement of all people around him. And he went to hell. Jesus is pointing out the deceitfulness of riches, the deceitfulness of material possessions. They so easily deceive us about our true relationship with God. Abraham said, "Child, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus, in like manner, bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish." Wow. The comfort of earthly possessions can so deceive us. And here is Hezekiah at the end of his life with all of these storehouses of riches and gold and treasures, and they've deceived him. As he shows them to a foreign nation that is going to plot and plan to attack, to steal and take it all away. Well, like the rich man, the story told by Jesus, Hezekiah was not heeding the word of the Lord, was he? In relation to these riches, in Psalm 62, "Put no trust in extortion, set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart on them." If you, by whatever God does, gives you large resources, be careful. Be very careful. Because, as we'll see as I go on in this message, you will see what God requires of someone who receives great resources. When we are entrusted with much, Jesus says, "Everyone to whom much is given, of him much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more." So if God has entrusted you with great resources, he's going to hold you accountable for all of them. And the more you have, the harder it's going to be, right? So blessed are the poor.
Who said that?
That's not a very popular word, is it? Blessed are the poor. That's what Jesus says in Luke chapter 6. Not the poor in spirit. He says, blessed are the poor. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And I've told you so many times the story of George Mueller with 200 orphans. He was very poor, wasn't he? He didn't have anything. But the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. The rich man in the story with Lazarus thinks that his riches are a sign of his approval by God and sits in the comfort of these things, deceived by them, not realizing that in fact he's in grave danger because his riches are deceitful, subtly reassuring him that everything is fine. Well, the New Testament exhortation to the rich is very clear, and we've read some of it tonight. Paul says to Timothy, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty. What happened to Hezekiah? Here's the story. He became haughty. Not to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches. How are the people in Colombia feeling about their riches? Or in Indonesia? Or even in Japan, where they've had terrible floods just washing it all away? Not to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God. And what did we sing? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You will not need to be anxious about anything. But I don't have anything in my bank account. Which bank account are you trusting? Where have your investments gone? Well, Paul charges Timothy, they are to do good and to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves in a better bank. As a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. Next year, the Gospel and Church and Nation Committee, of which I'm a part, is going to, we trust, hold a colloquium on the love of money, which Paul says in this passage in Timothy is a root of all evils, the love of money. So yes, we've got abortion, yes, we've got marriage corruption, yes, we've got, but actually what's the root problem in our nation? Or John tells his friends, do not love the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away, along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. Or Jesus in Luke 6. Woe to you who are rich! Now, ask yourself the question. Are you rich? You are. Every Australian person living in this nation is rich. Every Australian is rich. You have Medicare, healthcare, you have a house to live in, food on the table, beds to sleep in. I looked at the folk in Sudan at the moment, and this is North Sudan, in terrible anguish. With no place to sleep, with no place over their heads with no health care, dying in desperate need, like Lazarus, outside the rich man's house. And Jesus says, "Woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation." Earthly consolation. "Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall be mourn and weep. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets." Even the preparation for Jesus through John the Baptist. What was John the Baptist's message when he said, "Prepare the way of the Lord"? Well, just listen to it. This is the account in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3. "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places become level ways, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God.' He said, therefore, to the crowds that came to be baptized by him, 'You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able to these stones to raise children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire.' And the crowds asked him, 'What then shall we do?' And what does he answer? He answered them, 'Whoever has two tunics, share them with him who has none. Whoever has food, do likewise.' Tax collectors also came to be baptized by him. 'Teacher, what shall we do?' He said to them, 'Collect no more than you are authorized to do.' Soldiers also asked him, 'And we, what shall we do?' He said to them, 'Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusations, and be content with your wages.'" Every answer John gives is in relation to what? Money, earthly resources, earthly possessions. Riches are incredibly deceptive because they make us think that everything is okay with those who have the riches of this world. Hezekiah thought that the riches he possessed demonstrated his security. His pride in displaying these to his visitors actually led to God's judgment being exercised against his descendants, and all his earthly riches were taken away. It's just like Jesus said. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I now have store of my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store up grain and my goods. I will invest in superannuation." Oh, no, sorry. No, that wasn't it. "And I will say to my soul, 'Souls, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool.'" God said to him, "Fool." Maybe we all, by the world's messages and emphasis, are easily trapped into being fools. "This night your soul is required of you, and the things you've prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Sadly, Hezekiah's end for him brought the judgment of God. But God works in everything for the good of those who love him. And this message that he has left is a warning to us. Be careful. The deceitfulness of riches. What is your life? What can you give exchange for your life? our life is not measured by our earthly resources and possessions. As I've told you many times, the greatest blessing I ever received was from a man crippled lying on the ground who looked into my face and said, "I give you my blessing." He was Lazarus and I was the rich man. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us not to be deceived by the earthly possessions and resources that you have abundantly showered on us in this nation of Australia. Lord, we are so easily caught up with these things, and we are leaving a heritage for our descendants that is full of disaster. Help us, Father, to realign our hearts and our lives to embrace truly the things of your kingdom and live as those who have stored up our treasure in heavenly places. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.